Good morning, everyone, and thank you for making time to be with us at Thomas Village Baptist Church. And I pray that you have took opportunity to step outside for a little bit this morning. There's a briskness in the air, but there is a beauty in this day and at this time of year. Even before daylight this morning, I could hear the birds singing and chirping, and just a reminder of how that everything in Christ is new, His grace, His love, His mercy is new with the rising of the sun. But I pray that you are ready to worship the Lord. I pray that you're excited about what today holds. And if you've not yet, I pray that you text somebody or call somebody and tell them it's time to go to church. And you can come in your pajamas without your hair done or your makeup on and even drink you a cup of coffee. But just call somebody and invite them to come and to be with us today. Before we get going, I just want us to open up in a word of prayer and invite the person of the Holy Spirit to be with us. Also, I'm thankful for these men that are with me today, Brother Ken Flannery, Brother Otis Bowen, and then it's a pleasure to have my son Talmadge with us today. And the Bible says where two or more are gathered, there he is in the midst. But I also believe, and we have this, the Bible teaches that we have this, that we have the bond of the Holy Spirit. And that whether we're in the same room with one another or whether we're divided by time, whether we're divided by space, we still have that unity of the Holy Spirit. But not only that, the Bible teaches us too that we have the love of Jesus Christ that binds us together as well. And so today, I just pray that you are committed and that you'll purpose in your heart that along with me and these men that are here, but also there's many others that are gathered right now watching over Facebook Live, that today we gather in unity to see what the Lord has in store for us. But also, this is the time where we come together to give back to Him and to give praises to Him. So right now, let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our service today, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus, God, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your love, Your mercy, Your grace. I thank You, Lord, as we've already mentioned, that Your mercy, Your favor, Your hand of compassion, Your grace, all of that is new with the rising of the sun. And even more than that, Your forgiveness is new. Lord, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, that You're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. And so today, Lord, as I've already prayed, I pray again today in Jesus' name, Lord, that You'll forgive me of my sins. You'll forgive me of my fleshliness and my inability. But Lord, I pray today that You'll just use me for Your glory. God, I ask You to be with those that are with us this morning as we've had a special prayer request come to us today for Miss Jeanette Kraft and her family. We lift her up to You, asking You, Lord, for Your mercy and Your peace to be there. God, we know that there are those out there that are struggling with depression. They're struggling with maybe the loss of a job, maybe, Heavenly Father, Lord, the loss of a loved one. Lord, just the fact that this COVID-19 and this pandemic is going on longer, and being at home, you lose track of days, you lose track of time. And God, I just pray for those today. But God, in Jesus' name, we're reminded that this is the day You have made. And God, in our hearts, I choose, along with my brothers and those that are with us over Facebook today, we choose to worship You and to be glad in it. And so God, I thank You and I praise You, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're going to be in the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, this is a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. And it's right after Philippians and Ephesians, you're going along there. It's right before you get to Timothy. And so as you're turning there, I do just want to say it's good to be with you again. And we have had a special prayer need. If you're praying, as you're praying today, we ask you to pray for Miss Jeanette Kraft. The Lord knows the need there, and we're lifting up her family. But don't forget that on Mondays and Fridays at 6 o'clock, we're having our devotion time and a time of prayer. And specifically, we try to use that time to pray for America, to pray for the needs that we have, to pray that America come back to Christ, and that our great physician will handle this pandemic. And we're thankful, as we see nationally, that the cases of new confirmed coronavirus is beginning to level off. We still need to practice our stay at home and our social distancing, but praise God, we're beginning to see that there's going to be an end to this. But do join us at 6 o'clock. We had Brother Scott Gerald, pastor of Mount Carmel Baptist in Woodway. He was with us Friday and did a wonderful job. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, Brother Otis Bowen is going to be delivering the devotion and leading us in a time of prayer. So we're looking forward to that. And then also Friday, Brother Keith Roach is going to be leading us in it. Also, I want to challenge you to remember to go to Thomas Village Baptist Church's Awana page. Each week there is something new to kindly keep our Awana students in the Word and continuing to grow in the Word. And I want to say I've not forgot about the Versathon. I pray that when we get back going that we can still do that. We're going to just give a whole Sunday night to that. I'm not going to preach. We're going to enjoy seeing what God is doing with our Awana students. Also, beginning tonight at Silverleaf Baptist Church at 7 o'clock tonight through Wednesday night, there's a drive-in revival. You just pull up there, tune in on a radio station, and you'll be able to be a part of it. I'm going to be preaching there on Tuesday night at 7, but I'll probably try to go tomorrow night. I might be a little bit late because I want to be up here for the time of devotion and prayer. But if you think you might want to be a part of that, go. And if you need a direction, just let me know. Also, we're looking forward to, I think it is June the 10th is the day that they're kindly saying is looking like that we might can begin to have some normalcy. I know that there's going to be things happening between now and then, but when we'll be able to gather back together and things like that. And the reason that that is important is because on beginning June the 22nd, I believe it is that we'll be going into VBS. I spoke with Sister, text with Sister Andrea Jesse last week, and herself and I, we're going by faith, believing that God is going to bring it. So be expecting her to give you a call or a text, or maybe if you were a teacher last year or a worker, you might want to shoot her a text and say, hey, I'm going to be where the Lord would have me to be. But what better way to start back the summer than being able to tell others about Jesus Christ? And one of the first things we do that when they let us loose from the house is to go out and tell somebody about that. And so we give you, just want to look forward to that. All right, this morning, as we've been praying about the music for today and looking forward to today, I feel like the Lord has put page 189 in the Baptist hymnal, page 189, The Lily of the Valley. This is one that I remember going all the way back to singing at Pineview Baptist Church over in Wasburg, Georgia, when Daddy was pastor over there. And if you want to, you can stand up where you're at and sing with us, or you can listen to us. But whatever, we just pray that you'll worship with us this morning. The Lily of the Valley. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my grief has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation He's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for Him forsaken and all my idols borne from my heart, and now He keeps me by His power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do His blessed will, a wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With His manna He my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see His blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Amen. It is good to know that He will never, never leave me, and He's not going to forsake us here. So this morning again, we'll be in the book of Colossians chapter 2. And before we get going with our message today, I'm going to ask Brother Otis Moen if he would come and lead us in a word of prayer this morning.
Good morning, friends in Facebook land. We're praying that you're having a blessed day. Even though we all are going through situations and problems with the COVID virus, we hear good things from it and there's bad things from it, but we're showing improvement. Just have stickability and practice good safe distances and cleanliness in your with your hands and face, and just continue to pray. Yes, pray that God will lift this from us. Pray that He will teach us from this that our dependence is not on ourselves and our wealth, our jobs. Our dependence is on Him. When it comes to the end of life, we won't be depending on our income. We'll be depending on the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
So we just ask that He would change our hearts and how we look at things through all this. But let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, just asking for His blessings upon this service and upon our pastor, and upon our church and church family, our community and community families, and just give the Lord a blessing for today. Let's pray. Father God, we just come this morning thanking You that You give us the opportunity to be able to speak to You on our behalf. We don't need a priest. We don't need a pastor. We don't need a preacher to do that for us, because You made a way for us. You used Jesus Christ as to open the door to heaven. In fact, there's a song called Jesus is the Door. That's what He came here for. The crimson tide was laid and the price was paid for our debt, and to open the door to heaven that we can talk to You, God, individually. And we just thank You for that. We thank You, Lord, for this day. We pray, Lord, Your blessings upon our pastor as he brings a message this morning. We thank You for Brother Ken being faithful to be here each service to open up the church and to operate the sound equipment and the video for Facebook. Lord, we just thank You so much for our church family. Lord, we do miss them. We understand that that's going to be a part of this, but we can't wait, Lord, to get back together and just love on each other and praise You. And Father, we just ask You to be with our nation,
yes, Lord.
Her leaders, Lord, as so much controversy going on, the do's and don'ts and who, what should be done and what's not being done. Lord, but we know You're in control. We know that You permit things to happen in our lives to teach us. And we just pray, Lord, if this is a lesson that we need to learn, Lord, that we learn it well. And that if we make promises to You through all this, that we'll live up to it. If we promise You, we'll pray more. and read our scripture more and read to study the Bible more or be in church. Whatever our promises are to you, Lord, may you hold us to it. You hold us accountable. And Father, we just thank you so much for this day, for loving us, and we just thank you for being an awesome God. And we know you're in control through it all. That's what the song says, through it all, Lord, you're in control. And we just thank you so much for hearing our prayers and our petitions. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Otis. As you're turning to Colossians chapter 2, I just want to say that it has been a blessed week, a good week, and I'll be honest with you, I was encouraged by being able to worship with you last week and be with our church family. This week I know of some friends that have been released from quarantine, and then there's others that have went on quarantine, and so we're all at different stages, but as you're turning there, a song has been on my heart as I've went through this week. A man that was a mentor to me in carpentry, building, and construction, but also in just being a Christian, Brother John Sasser, he used to sing this song, and it's been on my heart as the Lord prepared this message this week. And I'm not going to sing it. I don't really know the tune very well, but I'm going to read it to you this morning. And it's a song by Carol Robinson. It's entitled, Take Away Jesus. Some of you probably know it. It says, you could take all the pleasures that I have to enjoy. I've still got peace in my heart. You could take all the things that money could buy. I've got a mansion that time cannot scar. You could take away the flowers that bloom in the spring, and I'd still have a rose in my life. You could take all the water out of the ocean, but I've got a river that never runs dry. But take away Jesus, and I have nothing to give. Take away Jesus, and I've got no reason to live. Without a heaven, just bury me in the sand. Take away Jesus, and I'd be a miserable man. This week, as I've studied, and I believe God has put this on my heart, as we go to Colossians chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 8, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 10. Only three verses this morning. But if I had a title for this morning's message, it would be Christ Jesus, More Than Enough. Christ Jesus, More Than Enough. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Listen, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and power. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we consider that Jesus Christ is more than enough. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you now thanking you, Lord, for just being your child, knowing, Lord, that you're in control, knowing that you have your hand of protection, of safety, and security around me. And so, Lord, as we go into our lesson this morning, God, I pray that you'll speak through your word and that you'll touch our hearts and you'll encourage us, but also you'll challenge us to be more than just the believer we were yesterday. And God, that we'll be a better follower of you tomorrow than we are today. And God, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. It was amazing to be able to gather with all of you last Sunday, resurrection morning, to have somewhat of a normal service. And to be honest with you, in the days that we're living right now, what is normal? I mean, everything's kind of up in the air. But this week I've had a few people ask me, when are we going to have another drive-in service? or please let me know when y'all are going to have another drive-in service. We'd like to come. So Lord willing, next Sunday at 11 o'clock, we're going to be having a drive-in service here at Thomas Village Baptist Church. It'll be basically the same way it was last week. You come, pull in. We may have it to where this time you can listen to us on the radio. We're going to try to have it that way. And all that we ask is, one, you stay in your cars, that you not get out and mingle from car to car, that you just stay in your car. If you do need to use the bathroom, we will have the facilities open, and we'll make sure that you're able to go. If you'll just honk your horn or wave your hand out the window, we'll come and make sure that nobody invades your privacy, then so you can be safe, but also we'll make sure that others are safe as well. So next week, at 11 o'clock here at Thomas Village, we'll be having a drive-in service. But if you remember anything about today's message, I ask that you remember these three things: that nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus has done for you. And if you'll open up your life today, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. But listen to those scriptures again as we consider that Christ Jesus is more than enough in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. He says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of principalities and power." Last Sunday, April the 12th, marked a month. We began in March 15th, and last Sunday marked a month that the ministries of Thomas Village Baptist Church, and as all other churches, have been put on hold some and scaled back. Now, there's been an unforeseen blessing in this, and that is the expanding of the teaching and preaching of God's Word. Now, we've got more services online, and probably right now, the Word of God is going to more people from Thomas Village Baptist Church than it probably ever has in the time, and that's the glory of the Lord. But as we think about it, our daily and local ministries, our daily and local activities have been put on hold for the most part. During that time, I've been able to read. Matter of fact, not only have I been able, it's kindly that God has put it on me that I've been able to read and study and to pray and to consider a lot of things. And as I got to thinking, much of the things that we hold dear, much of the things that we call Christian has been taken away from us. Our Sunday and Wednesday services, our ministries and groups like our deacons' meetings, we've not been able to fellowship with deacons. The WOM has not been able to meet. Our sowing bees have not been able to come together. Our times of praise and worship, the times of practicing, whether it be the youth coming together or our praise team or our choir, those things. Our church has almost been taken away. For a lot of people, it's been a month since you've even set foot on the property, much less been able to come in. Our visitation program, this is the time of year where we try to kick it back in and get it going again, and we've not been able to. And myself, and as I was thinking, I thought about myself along with other pastors, preachers, deacons, missionaries, song directors, department heads, other church leaders, and other Christian leaders. We love the work of the Lord, and we love the things of God. But over the past month, not only I've been forced to think about these things and the reality of most of these meetings, efforts, ministries, and works, as they've been taken away from, I've had to ask a question in my heart and my mind. Could it be that we've become in love with the Lord's work more than we are in love with the Lord? Could it be that we've become more in love with I know people like this. We like to stay busy. We like to be doing something. And we love the church and we love the things of the church. And I had to ask myself as a pastor, and believe you me, I had to admit that there's times that I get caught up in the work. Stop and think about it. The church building, the sanctuary, the Sunday school rooms, the up-to-date children's classes and youth wing, in the very places that were built to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and meet together. It's very easy to come, see one another, but never meet and worship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about our music, congregational music, choir specials, contemporary praise and worship. It's possible, and really it's rather easy, to sing songs about Jesus, but never sing to Jesus. Never worship Him. What about me, the preacher and the teacher and the breaking down of Scripture, the Word of God, as a preacher and a teacher, one who loves the Bible, one who loves the Word? I have to admit that it is possible while we are learning from the Word of God and about Jesus, we're really not growing any closer to Jesus in the midst of it. Now, don't get me wrong. I love being at the house of God. To be honest with you, not much has changed for me. I still come up here during the week. I still spend time in prayer. I still spend time in study. This is almost like home to me. And I know that most of you listening to me as members of Thomas Village Baptist Church, as well as those that are a part of other fellowships and other churches, you love, you appreciate, and you enjoy the things of God, the singing of the hymns, the contemporary praise and worship, and the music that uplifts the Lord Jesus Christ, the preaching and teaching of God's Word, the expounding and breaking down of His truth. You love the church house. You love your brothers and sisters. You enjoy coming together and being with them. And all of that is good. Don't get me wrong. But we can get caught up in the good and be doing the godly works. And yet, we can be distant from God and not close to Him. And while I don't know what God's ultimate plan is with the coronavirus and with the COVID-19, I do know that He has allowed this time for us to be taken away from our ministries, from our places of worship, from our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I believe that during this time it would do us well that if we would stop and consider, am I busy about the work of the Lord, but not drawing closer to the Lord? I want to remind you today, this message is simple as we think about that Jesus Christ is more than enough. The congregational singing can be taken away. The contemporary praise and worship can be taken away. The nice buildings, Sunday school rooms, sanctuaries, and modern facilities can be taken away. The regular services and the pastor in his tie and Sunday suits, or maybe even the casual pastor in his modern dress, can be taken away. If all that we as Americans consider to be traditional Christianity is taken away, and it would never be practiced again, we can still say that we have Christ Jesus. And when we say that we have Christ Jesus, then we are declaring that we have more than enough than whatever might come our way. Again, listen at this scripture. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and power. The entire purpose of Paul writing this letter to the church at Colossae was to declare the absolute supremacy and the total sufficiency of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There were some problems that were arising, some issues that were arising there at the church of Colossae. First, it seems that legalism, ritualism, traditions, Meaning that the adherence and the observance of Judaism was threatening the church. You have to do it like this. You have to do it like that. If you're not doing this, then you're not a good Christian. If you're not doing that, then you're not a good Christian. And secondly, there was an idea of higher enlightenment that was being brought there. The idea of Gnosticism. Paul makes references to philosophies there in 2 verse 8. And then in 2 verse 18, he talks about the worship of angels. And believe you me, today there are certain groups that believe that they have a higher understanding of God. They have a better understanding. But even more than that, today we can get in danger when we think that we have everything the right way and that we're perfect. I don't believe we're in danger of Judaism or mystic religions overtaking us, but I do believe that we can get hung up on our local traditions. And you know what? Every church has them. Every church has their own way of doing things, that this is right and that's wrong. And that we can become so super spiritual and so high-minded about our personal beliefs that anything outside of what we think is right would be stupidity and not even for us to consider. Praise God. I want to tell you this. Ain't none of us got it all right. And all of us, no matter how long we've been saved, every day that we go into the Scripture, we can learn more and more about who Christ is and how to be closer with Him. If you notice in that first verse of Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, notice what he says. He says, beware lest any man spoils you. I want you to think about that word spoil there. The word literally means valuables taken by robbery or violence. Now, the pirates would call it booty or treasure. The idea is that it's the valuable things that have been taken by illegal and violent means. And that's what seemed to be happening here, that wicked men or ungodly men, even if they didn't know that they were ungodly men, were coming in there and teaching some false religions and some false things. And Paul was saying, I want you to make sure and to beware that you're valuable to me. You're valuable to the Lord. And I don't want you who are the treasures. Remember, he says that over in the book of Thessalonians. He calls them his joy and his glory. And he doesn't want them to be taken away or spoiled. Now, while this is not the intended meaning here specifically in Colossians 2:8, on the modern level, when we think about the idea of spoil, we think about the idea of something going bad or being ruined. The most familiar idea is when you go to the refrigerator and you look at the milk and you don't know if it's bad or if it's out of date yet, and you have to open it up and you take a smell of it. I won't be honest with you. There's never been a time that I've smelt milk that it smelled okay. Anytime I'm having to smell it, I'm almost ready to throw it away before I even do it. But I want you to think about that. That today, we as Americans, we as Christians in the church, we've got to be mindful that we're not spoiled. That we don't become ruined. I want to tell you something. When we use the word spoiled, we think about a child who gets all of his ways. Praise God, Brother Scott did a wonderful job Friday, and he was confronting the fact that we as modern Christians in America have become spoiled. We've got to the point to where if the temperature isn't just right, if the pews aren't just soft, or if the preacher's a little bit too loud, or he's a little bit too long, then we're not going to come. Praise God, they used to travel miles on horseback to be able to come to a place without an air conditioning and sit on hard pews just so that they could hear the Word of God and to sing praises to God and be with the people of God. And nowadays, we've got it better than they've ever had it before, but yet we see that the numbers in the church are beginning to go down. Why? Because we as American people and even we as American Christians are like spoiled children. And if we don't have it just right, then we're not going to put up with it. Look what he says. He says, beware unless any man spoils you. And notice he brings up two things by the way that we can be spoiled or ways that we can go bad. The first one is philosophy. When you look up, this is a big word, But when you look it up, the definition is pretty simple. It means human understanding and the pursuit of human wisdom. Human understanding and the pursuit of human wisdom. Basically what it is it's man's intellect. Man's way of thinking. And praise God, there's not one of us today as Christians that we've been told to empty ourselves and to have the mind of Christ in us, and we wage that battle that are we going to think like the Lord today, and are we going to let the Word of God be the truth we stand on, or is it going to be what we think and how we feel and the wisdom that we have inside of us? I will tell you what, man's wisdom or man's philosophy is completely against God. I want you to hear man's wisdom or man's philosophy. The governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, when asked this week about the fight against coronavirus and the decline of reported new cases, this is what he said. It, the plateau in numbers, is directly a result of what you do today. The number is down because we brought it down. Listen, he says, God did not do that. Fate did not do that. Destiny did not do that. A lot of pain and suffering did that. Can I tell you today that if it has not been for the hand of God and the grace and mercy of God, that this pandemic could wipe out the nation of America? And it's just by His goodness and mercy today that we're seeing the numbers plateau. But you see, our mind tells us that we have power, that we have authority, and that what we can do will bring something about. And you see, the same way in the house of God, we can get to the point where we think that what we do can make the gospel better. We think that what we do can make the church more valuable. The things we do can make God love us more or make us more valuable to Him. But you see, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 25 and 27 says this, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. But God has chosen the foolish things in the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things in the world to bring shame to the strong." You listen, the Bible says, it's telling us there that the most foolish idea that God has ever had, and I'm not saying He has foolish ideas, but the most foolish idea He could ever have would still be above and beyond, wiser than the wisest thought that a man could ever have. You see, we've got to be careful today as we consider the church and all our traditions and the way that we do things. Are we doing it out of human philosophy? Notice he goes on to say the next thing that can spoil us is the traditions of men. The traditions of men. Human or man-made customs that have been handed down. Things we do because basically they have always been done that way. And like I said, every church has the way that they do it. Now, one of those things is where the offering is took up. Now, I've been going to church before I was born. But in every church that I've been a part of, the offering has always been took up just before the special was sung and the pastor gets up to preach. That's just the way it's been. But you know what? You could wait and take up offering the last thing. You might even choose, and dare say this as a pastor, you might even choose not to take up the offering. You could do it first thing. You know what? The way we do it before the special and before the pastor gets up to preach, that's our tradition. We've always done it that way, and we're comfortable with doing it that way, so we don't see any need to change it. But then I want you to think on something else. The way that we get so bent on a certain type or certain style of music. I'm telling you, many churches have had many hard times go through over the idea of a music style. Another one is this, the way that we look down or we devalue other people based on their hairstyle or their hair length, the way that they are dressed, the tattoos that's running up and down their arms or whatever, not that they have a relationship with Christ, not that they love Him and are sold out for them. We'll look at them and the first thing we see when we look at them, we'll see something that disqualifies them from being as good a Christian as we are. We'll do it. And even if we find out that they know the Lord, we let their past be more important than their present, than their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. These are our traditions. Now, I might fend off some people this morning in what I'm fixing to say, but I want to say this, that I preach from the King James, and I'll probably always preach from the King James. But let me tell you this, Christ Jesus did not speak the King's English. Most people could not read an original copy of the King James Version 1611. Every version that you have that you say is an original King James 1611 is a translation from an original manuscript of the 1611. There were, you know what? There were versions of the Bible printed before there was the King James Version. There was the Tyndale New Testament in 1530, the Coverdale Bible in 1549, the Geneva Bible in 1560. And I want to just say this, and I say it in love, but if people cannot understand the Bible, then it might as well be written in Latin and changed to the pulpit again. Praise God today. We get to a point that we love our traditions more than we love our Savior. More than we love the people that are dying and going to hell. Listen, what's the old saying? You cannot see the forest for the trees. As religious people, have we gotten to the point that we cannot see the Redeemer for our human reasoning, our religious actions, and our traditions and routine? You see, today I believe, God, that we're at a point to where we need to look back and recognize that it's all about Jesus. Everything that we do has to be about Jesus. Why? Because He is more than enough. We don't have to have anything else. It is not any add to or take away or any power-ups and all that. All we need is Jesus. Have we become spoiled by religion, human reasoning, and philosophy? Like the Israelites, we cannot get caught up in our customs and be carried away in empty practices. Listen to what God said to Israel over in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. He says, "What purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? Or why are you bringing me all of these sacrifices? I'm tired." What's the meaning behind it? In verse 12, he says, "When you come and appear before me, who requires it of you to trample my courts?" He says, "Why are you coming to my house and running from here to there and doing all that?" In verse 13, he says, "Bring me no more vain oblations." He says, "Stop bringing useless offerings." They were doing right in what it looked like. They were going to the synagogue. They were offering up sacrifices. They were raising up their hands in praise. But then God says back to them, "Why are you doing all these things? They're empty. You're not doing it for me. You're not meeting with me. All these rituals, all these customs, it's not about me. So just stop it." Could we be caught up in the work of the Lord, missing out on time with the Lord? You know what Christ Jesus wants today? He wants for you and me to focus on Him. He wants you and me to spend time with Him. He wants you and me to fall on our knees in prayer and talk to Him. He wants to be number one in our life. You know what? Even Paul and Barnabas got to a point to where they had to stop. If you look over in the book of Acts chapter 14, it says that while they were there at Antioch, they fasted and prayed and they ministered not for the Lord, but unto the Lord. The idea of that word minister there means that they sacrifice their personal time to be with the Lord. And yes, praise God, think about it. Paul had many churches to start. He had many people to lead to the Lord. He had a lot of books of the Bible that had to be wrote. And praise God, we're thankful for what he worked for the Lord. But praise God, before he did the work of the Lord, he took time to be with the Lord, Jesus Christ. Notice what it goes on to say after he warns us that we're not to be spoiled by our thinking and our reasoning. We're not to be spoiled by our traditions. Why? Because look there in verse 9. He says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead." I'm not going to spend time on this, but if you see that word dwelleth there, in other versions it says the entirety. The entirety of the fullness, the completeness. In other words, all of God, who He is contained in the God-man, Jesus Christ. There is nothing lacking in Jesus as God. There's nothing lacking in Him as man. As John wrote it in the first verse of the first chapter of his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things that were made by Him, and without Him, not anything made that was made." Praise God, Jesus Christ is God today. I guess He said it best Himself over in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Or when Moses, just as when Moses was standing at the burning bush and he said, "Tell them the I am that I am has sent you." Jesus, looking at the Pharisees that day, said, "I am. I am the self-sustaining one. I am the self-sufficient one. I am the eternal one that has been before creation was." And see, Paul says, "For in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Because that is true, Paul goes into verse 10. And listen what he says to you and I today. He says, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Now, I want you to think about that again as we think about Jesus Christ being more than enough. He says, "You are complete in Him." You, me, anyone, everyone, whosoever knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and King, they are complete in Him. The word in the Greek there is pleroo, P-L-E-R-O-O, pleroo. It means accomplished or to have been brought to an end, to have made total, implying fulfillment, to be made full, or fully supplied. When he says that we have been made complete in Him, complete in Christ Jesus, what Paul is saying is that there is nothing lacking in our lives anymore. He is saying that in Him we have more than enough. We've been filled up to the top. Listen, there are no add-ons to Christ Jesus. There are no power-ups when it comes to Christ Jesus. There is nothing that you must do or you have to do if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You are complete in Him. He is more than enough. Now, for the next few minutes, I want you to just stop and I want you to think about what that means today. That with Christ Jesus, we have more than enough. Not all the traditions, not all the Christianosity or all this. Just with Him alone, we have all that we need. Listen, when our supplies are low and the need is real, over in the book of Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we're told about Peter, James, and John. And they had been out fishing all night on the Sea of Galilee. They had caught nothing and they were to the point of quitting. But Jesus comes and Jesus tells them to go out. Luke chapter 5 verse 4, He said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." After making some excuses, Paul and the other
disciples obeyed Jesus Christ, and we're told in Luke 5 verses 6 and 7, and when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They had to signal to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled the boat, both boats, so that they began to sink. Hey, praise God, listen, in a time of financial need, and when the job wasn't seem to add up and they wasn't bringing in the product that they needed to be bringing in, praise God, Jesus Christ was more than enough to supply each and every one of their needs. And praise God, Jesus Christ today, I don't know what you're going through, but He's more than enough to supply all of your needs. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. And listen, this is how he ends it. According to His riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. You see, when we are in need, and when the job ain't where it needs to be, and the money ain't where it needs to be, praise God, Jesus is more than enough to meet all of our needs. When we're hit by the storms of life, over in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, the apostles, many of them that were fishermen and had understanding of boats and of the Sea of Galilee, they were out one night, and the Bible says that a prepared storm came upon them. It was so great that these fishermen, these men that knew boats, became fearful and had to cry out to Jesus, who was sleeping in the hull. And they told Him, they said, the storm is so great. Lord, don't You even care about us? But Jesus looked at them in Mark 4:39 and calmly said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then He addressed the disciples, saying, why are you so afraid? You see, Jesus Christ proved to them in that moment that He was more than enough in the calm to see the storms of their life. But praise God, you know what? Sometimes Jesus does not calm the storms in our life. We see that over in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Here they started on a journey alone going across the Sea of Galilee. And we're told in Matthew 14, 24 that a storm came up and the waves beat on them and the wind was contrary to them, or it was against them. That's the way it feels right now, that life is against a lot of us. But just at the right moment, Jesus came walking on the water. But in the storm, Jesus did not say, peace be still this time. You know what He said? He said, Peter, come to Me. And He gave Peter the power to walk along and above the raging waves. And when Peter got to the point that he could no longer stay above it, he cried out to Jesus saying, Lord, save me. And in Matthew 14:31, it says that Jesus immediately reached out His hand and took hold of him. And then we're told in John 6:31 that Jesus delivered them to their destination. Praise God, Jesus is more than enough today to calm the seas and the storms of life. But praise God, He's also enough to carry us through the storms of life when we have to. What about when we need physical healing? Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 24 and verse 35 through 43. Here, it seems that in Galilee, a synagogue leader named Jairus came to Jesus, and he had a sick daughter that was at the point of dying. And Jairus asked Jesus to come to his house and to lay hands on her that she would be healed. But by the time they arrived at Jairus' house, she had died. But Jesus said, fear not, only believe. And Christ took hold of the little girl's hand, and in Mark chapter 5, verse 41, He said, little girl, I say unto you, arise. And you know what happened? She got up and she walked out. Praise God today, whether it be medication, surgeries, therapy, or His command, Jesus Christ is more than enough today to provide physical healing. But you know, sometimes He doesn't provide physical healing. But in those cases, Christ has promised for a physical upgrade. Listen, 1 Corinthians 15:50 and 52 through 55. I tell you, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does this perishable inherit the imperishable. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on the immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Praise God, any healing that we have down here on earth is a temporary healing. But praise God, Jesus Christ is more than enough that one day He is going to provide for us an eternal healing and an everlasting body to go along with that. You know what else? Jesus Christ is more than enough to handle the issues of your life. This one happens in the midst of what's going on with Jairus and his daughter. We're told that Christ Jesus is surrounded by a multitude, and a large number of people are there pushing on Him. And in the midst of that crowd, there's an unnamed woman. She's sick. She's been sick for 12 years. We're told in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, that she has an issue of blood, meaning that she had been losing blood for 12 years. During this time, it says that she had suffered many things of physician and had spent all that she had, and yet she was none the better. She had been poked and prodded by doctors, and she had been left penniless and still was sicker than she had been when she started. But in her mind, something said, if I can only get to Jesus, and if I could but touch the hem of His garment. And so she headed that way, she gathered up her strength, and she pushed her way through, and she reached out, and she touched Jesus. In Mark chapter 5, verse 29, it says, immediately the fountain of blood within her was dried up. The loss of blood stopped. And in that moment, Jesus knew that He had been touched by faith. So He asked, who touched me? And in fear, she admitted that it was me. And He looked at her and He said, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your plague. Praise God, today Jesus Christ is more than enough to deal with the issues of life that plague us on a daily basis. And go on a little bit further, just two more if you bear with me. When we've lost things of value in our life, Jesus Christ is more than enough. Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 through 14. In this passage, we go with Jesus into a synagogue on the Sabbath day as He prepares to preach. Upon entering the synagogue, Christ sees a man with a withered hand. This means that this man's hand was deformed. It was without strength, and there was paralyzation within his hand. It could have been caused by an accident. It could have come by a disease. Some even think that it might have come as an issue of birth. But in Matthew chapter 12, verse 13, Jesus looked at the man with the withered hand and said, stretch out your hand. The man listened to Jesus and he stretched out his hand. And we're told in Matthew 13, the man stretched forth his hand and it was restored healthy like the other one. That which the man had lost was given back to him. It could be your marriage today. It could be a relationship with your children. It could be a relationship with your parents. It could be a troubled friendship, or it could even be a difference with a brother or a sister. But today, Jesus Christ is more than enough to give back the valuable things that have been taken from you. And then lastly, according to the Bible, Romans 3:23, we have all sinned. We've all, as His creation, have rebelled against the Creator. We've dishonored Him, we've rejected God's instruction, and we've denied His authority. But we have also wronged other human beings. We've done things that we pray that no one ever finds out about. Those things that in the midnight hour come to our mind, and when we think of them, a wave of shame and guilt washes over us. Even when nobody's there, we feel it. Can I tell you something? Not only does God know what that thing is, He saw it when you did it. And He still loves you. But not only does He love you, but all of that shame, all of that guilt, all of that sin, today Jesus Christ wants to take it from you. He wants to wash you clean of it. He wants to make you new. Listen what it says about Christ. Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sin. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more with the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself up without blemish to God, purifying our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Revelations 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of earth, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood. Today, Jesus Christ has already suffered the punishment for your sins. Today, His blood can cleanse you from the guilt and the stain of your sin. Today, He wants to set you free from your sin and shame and make you into a new person. Praise God, today Jesus Christ is more than enough to handle and forgive your sins and to wash you white as snow today. You see, praise God, today we don't need add-ons. There's one thing about each of these encounters that we cannot fail to notice. With every different person, there was a different need, a different situation they were going through. Peter, James, and John, that was their livelihood out there fishing on the boat. It was their employment and their career challenges. With the apostles, they were facing storms. Jairus and his daughter were facing physical sickness and death. The man with the withered hand had suffered loss. The woman, plagued by the issue of blood. And then there's the reality of sin and shame. And in some of all these situations, we see ourselves. Places that we've been, places we're in. But think about this. Never did Jesus tell them to wait because He had to do such and such. Never did He tell them, go away and come back later on. Praise God, He met their need right there. Just Him and them. Every situation in their life, Christ Jesus was more than enough. He never used up all His power. When He left them, He came to another one that was having problems. And Christ Jesus was more than enough. And wherever you're at and whatever you're going through today, I promise you by the Word of God that Jesus Christ is more than enough. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of principalities and power. In closing today, again, I want to tell you, I love going to church. I love singing hymns. I love praise and worship. I love sitting under preaching and teaching. I love to gather together with all my brothers and sisters and have meals and all that goes along with going to church. All of these things have been given to help us to make our lives full and to be blessed. They're gifts that have been given to us. They're tasks that He has called us to do. But if something was to happen today, and all of those things were permanently taken away, Christ Jesus would still be more than enough. You see, we cannot let the gifts become bigger than the giver. Today, we can't let human wisdom, religious traditioning, or so-called churchy things keep us from being close and making Him most important in our life. You see, Christ Jesus is more than enough. And I want to kindly do a pointed invitation this morning. Three things I want to challenge you to think about. The first thing is this. Maybe you're listening today and there's no question about your salvation. but yet something inside of you still feels empty. There seems to be that something's missing. Will you ask yourself right now, Lord, have I been just keeping myself busy with the Lord's work instead of focusing on letting the Lord work on me? Today, He's right. He never left. He's right where He is. And you know what? When He walked up the cross on Calvary, it was for you and me. And today, He's called us to be His children. He's called us to have a relationship with Him. Maybe today you just need to once again focus back on having that relationship with Him. Maybe this time right now, even for mature and Spirit-filled Christians, is a trying time. Staying at home, very little communication, don't see family, you can't hang out with friends. I want to challenge you today, if you're feeling alone and you're feeling empty, let me know. Tell somebody, let Brother Otis know. We'll talk with you, we'll text with you. But more importantly, we want to be in prayer for you that during this time you feel the joy of the Lord and that Jesus Christ lets you know that He's more than enough to get you through this. And then lastly is this. Maybe today you've come to realize that you really don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? You could love being a church member. You could be committed to coming to church. You could have positions in the church. You can be one that does a lot of churchy things. A lot of what the world would call Christian things. But unless you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, humbled yourself, and asked Him to be your Lord and Savior, then praise God, all you're doing is working for the Lord and not living in the Lord. Today, all you've got to do is say something like this, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've broken Your rules and I'm sorry. And instead of just doing godly things, I want to have God in my life. Maybe you've realized that even though you're a pretty good person and you're moral, the truth is that you too are a sinner. You've broken God's rules and you need a Savior. It's not about being a good person today. It's about knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Or maybe you were like I was and your life is in shambles because of choices you've made and the way you decided to live your life. It don't matter if you're there. Praise God, Jesus is more than enough to lift you up out of the miry clay, to wash you off and create in you a new spirit, if you'll just let Him do it today. Praise God. I know I've probably been a little bit long-winded today, but if you can get one thing in your mind and you don't forget it, it's this. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're facing, Jesus is more than enough. God bless you, Lord willing. I see you tonight. Bye-bye.